Welcome to the Empowered You podcast. I'm your host, Kelly Espino, a former licensed social worker turned spiritual empowerment coach and transformational speaker. And I am on a mission to help you rediscover who you truly are on a soul level so you can create the life you truly desire and make the impact that only you were born to make. This unfiltered podcast is your weekly Espino Espresso shot of empowerment, information, strategies, incredible guests, fun, and so much more, all geared towards helping you believe with pure conviction that you are more than enough and have the power and abilities within you to make your dreams and desires a reality. Because let me tell you, sunshine, the world needs you. Now let's get this party started. Welcome back, sunshines, to another episode of the Empowered You podcast. Bow, bow, bow. Welcome back. Welcome, welcome, welcome. So, sunshines, first, before we go into this episode and what I'm so excited to share with you all, I just want you all to know that I'm here for you. I'm with you. You are not alone. We are in this together. I am holding space for you all. I'm sending so much love and healing energy your way. And I just want to remind you just how adaptable we all are. And if you really think about it, look at social media. Look at all these yoga teachers, meditation teachers, dance teachers, all these different types of people that are bringing their services to social media and bringing their services online for us to really feel connected. It's incredible. It's amazing. I'm so grateful for technology and social media because, I mean, I can't imagine going through the time we're experiencing right now without it. And it really just shows you how much people adapt. We adapt, we adjust, we pivot, we learn, we grow, we evolve. You know, it's within us. It's within the human spirit. We have that resiliency, that ability to persevere, that ability to overcome within every single one of us. And I just want to remind you of that. And I also want to remind you that it's okay to feel the feels. You know, we're going through major, massive transformation and changes and grief and loss. And there's so much going on that there's no right or wrong way to feel. Please release expectations, release judgment, and just do the best that you can. And that could be crying your eyes out and allowing yourself to really just cocoon and get really in your feelings and feeling the feels. Or it could be like you watching yoga and doing yoga and starting a practice. Literally, it could be anything. There's no right or wrong way. The rules are, there are no rules. You set the path. So please just remember, feel the feels. It's so incredibly important. Honor yourself. Love yourself through this. Release the judgment. Lean on love. You know, definitely check out the episodes in this podcast if you haven't seen them yet, because there's a lot of great tips and tools and knowledge and awareness and wisdom and healings that can help you through navigate through this time, this time of uncertainty. So that is my little spiel. You guys know I always like to start with a little spiel. Now, I am so excited for today's episode and for the series that I'm going to be offering, which is, this is called the Fail Forward Series, Part 1. Now, I am so incredibly excited to bring Jerome Fenton on the podcast. You already know about Jerome because I actually shared the podcast I did on his podcast, which is called the H for Hustle Podcast. On episode 28, I replayed it and I posted it in the Empowered You podcast. So you already know about Jerome. And in that episode that I did with Jerome on his H for Hustle podcast, we were talking about failure and quote unquote failure and how failing really isn't failing and how it always redirects you and you live and you learn. And, you know, I really believe as a whole, we're so terrified of failure. We're so terrified of making the right or wrong decision that we tend to freeze, or we allow our ego or our mind to get the best out of us, right? So I felt super, super inspired while sitting with him to create a Fail Forward series. And that was a couple months ago. And it's always been in the back of my mind, but I haven't really put much energy into it until all this has happened that I'm like, you know what? There's no better time than now to really, really discuss this whole idea of fail forward. This whole idea of shifting our perspective on what failure really is and really allowing ourselves to get out of our comfort zone, because that's exactly what we're being called to do. We're going through a major transformation time right now, a major death and renewal time right now. We are being called to step up in ways we've never even imagined, right? We're being called to step outside our comfort zone and really access that power that we have within us. The time is now. So there's no better time to really shift your perspective on this quote unquote failure and to really learn from other people that have experienced so-called failures and see their and hear their wisdom and hear their tips and their tools and their ways to cope. And really, my intention for this series is to empower you, motivate you, inspire you, to help you recognize that there's no right or wrong decision, to help you recognize that you have the power within you. You have all the answers within you, that you can move forward. You can quote unquote fail. And that might be the best thing that has ever happened to you, because it redirects you to something that is more in alignment with your soul, to something that is will fulfill you greater. And everything is like, there's just so much beauty and gifts that come from quote unquote failures that I really am super excited to share with you this series. So like I said, Jerome Fenton is on the podcast, bow, bow, bow. And he is a proud husband, a proud father, a serial entrepreneur. And he, like I said earlier, he's the host of the H for Hustle podcast. And he is so dope. He's so profound. I am so excited to have him on the podcast. And I, like, guys, I was actually blown away. I mean, I knew he was, you know, profound. I knew he was deep, but I didn't recognize how deep. So you're going to hear his story. You're going to hear how he started a business when he was 18 with two of his other friends in the Bronx, just trying to make it work, and all he learned from those experiences, and how he doesn't care about failure, but there's something even greater that motivates him and drives him. And it's a really interesting perspective shift. He shares some tips and tools, some stories. He's a great storyteller. I'm telling you, he shares his rock bottom and how he overcame it. You are going to be so fired up and excited by Jerome's like story and his perspective that I would not doubt if you leave this episode being like, yeah, I'm starting my own business. Let's get it. Let's go. But also, I want to highlight the fact that although you may not be an entrepreneur or wannabe entrepreneur who's listening right now, right? But the lessons that he has learned through his entrepreneur experience, you can translate that in every single area of your life. So please do not skip over this episode just because you're like, well, I don't want to, you know, be an entrepreneur. I'm not going to start my own business. Like, please know, because there's so many lessons and wisdom and perspective shifts and stories that you can take from Jerome that you can apply in every area of your life. I'm telling you, this episode really blew me away. It was even greater than my expectations. And you guys are going to love Jerome. And I'm so excited to have another male on the podcast, because I've been really feeling called to bring more of that masculine energy, that male perspective. It's just, I haven't found, you know, connected and found the right people to bring. But Jerome, he is definitely the right person, and I'm so excited. So with that said, enjoy this episode. Let's get it. Let's go. Find Jerome in, you know, check out his podcast, check him out on Instagram. All his information is in the show notes. Take a screenshot, write a 5-star review, tag me at It's Kelly Espino on Instagram, and let's get this message out, okay, guys? So let's get this party started in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome, Jerome Fenton, to the podcast. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you. I love your energy.
I am so freaking happy to have you. And this is so long overdue, because I know I shared this in the intro, but the episode we did together on your H for Hustle podcast, yeah, inspired this whole idea of a fail forward series. And I thought, who better than you to kick off this fail forward series?
Thank you. I'm so excited that I could be able to be a part of that.
Yes, and this is a big deal, Jerome, because we only had one other man on the podcast, and I've been wanting more masculine energy on the podcast. Like, I've been wanting more male perspectives on the podcast, and so you literally couldn't have come at a more perfect time. So thank you so much.
I hope I bring the proper masculine energy.
No, you're great. And I'm really super excited to dig into this. But before we do all that, let us know, like, what are you up to these times?
Well, you know, we're in the era of Corona right now. So just kind of in the house, working a lot on the podcast, tightening up a lot of little things. One of my mentors says, little holes sink big ships. So these are all the times that I'm using to just tighten up all the little holes, the little stuff that you put off because you just don't have the quote unquote time. And now we have time. So I've just been working on that. And it's, you know, being in the house with the family, I realized that I only have 4 dishes. I thought I was a really good cook, and I realized I only have 4 dishes now.
And you don't play. You have three kids, right?
Yeah, 3 daughters, 3 girls, yeah.
Under the age of?
5, yeah. 5, wow. 3, and 1, yeah.
Wow. So do you have, like, a whole new respect for just being, like, you know, a parent teacher, like, all the time? Like, no, I mean, not that you're, I feel like parents, you're always on. You never have no days off.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, it's on a whole nother extreme.
Yeah, I mean, they have a very interesting way of making you feel the present moment. Like, kids don't know anything else besides, like, what's going on now. If they fall, they cry, they're in that moment. If they're playing with a game, they're in that moment. They're watching an iPad, they're in that moment. Mm-hmm. So it forces me to, like, when you get down into their world and you get on the floor, you play with Play-Doh, it forces me. That's something that I say all of them have taught me as a parent, like, be in the present. Like, you know, because they don't have this future past thing. It's like, it's right now or nothing, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's something that's been really cool to, like, see and be a part of. Because sometimes as adults, you kind of get lost in the sauce of, you know, adulthood.
Yeah.
They have this really great way of bringing you back to, like, what's happening now. And they don't care about anything else besides what's happening right now.
Yeah. So, it's such a beautiful lesson. And I totally agree with you in regards to the whole time thing now with the whole, oh my God, just the other day, I spent like 2 hours with my mom and we went to like this dance class that was outside and very CDC approved. I feel like I have to say that because I don't want people to come tack me. Like, you know what I mean? Like, shame me for being out.
Everyone was 6 feet away from each other.
Yeah. It was very CDC approved. But then we went to this park. We walked around. Literally, Jerome, it felt like we were out for like 5 hours. And I went into the car and I was like, yo, mom, it's only been 2 hours. Like, it literally, time is such an illusion. And I've heard that before, but I didn't really.
It's real.
It's so real. And it was like, wow, a lot of great quality time, only 2 hours, but it felt so much longer. Yeah. It's so crazy. But so Jerome, share with us. I'm like so excited. I can't even talk. Share with us a little bit about your story because I'm such a big believer in your story is your power. So let us in.
So let's go back. So I came here when I was 7 years old. I'm from Jamaica originally, so immigrant to this country. Grew up here most of the time, but kind of went back and forth to Jamaica. Most of my life is spent in the Bronx, New York. Growing up, just, you know, there was me and my 2 older brothers, my mom and dad. We lived in like a 1-bedroom apartment for a very, very long time. You know, immigrant life, you're just trying to figure it out and put it all together. Was like a decent kid through school. And when I got to the end of year high school, I was like, I'm not going to go to college. I decided like, it's not the path for me. I just wasn't like a brainiac. I felt like I had a bunch of common sense, but like not a lot of school sense. I decided, I told my 2 friends, I kind of tricked them into it. I was like, hey, you should come and join. We should start a company together, a cleaning company or something. We should do something together. And the cleaning company we chose because it wasn't even Google at the time, it was Yahoo Answers. It's like cheapest business to start. And Yahoo was like, cleaning is a great business. All you need is $500.
That's how it started?
Yeah, that's how it started. That's it. We didn't even have $500. What we did was we had $40 collectively. And in Manhattan, there's a district called the Perfume District. It's like 28th and like Broadway or something like that. And we took the $40 that we had, went down to Broadway, bought a whole bunch of perfume kits, took the train from the 2 train from Manhattan all the way back to the Bronx and sold them in like barbershops and bodegas and hairdressers.
Wow.
And we took the profits from that, went back downtown, did that over and over until we got $500 to like start the company.
Wow. And you were 18 at this time?
Yeah, that was 18. And we started the cleaning company. We didn't know a thing. We didn't know anything. Like, we were just young little hustler kids from the Bronx just trying to put it together. We had a business card. I actually found our old business card. card. There were so many errors and misspellings on that business card. It was crazy. Like, I actually, like, I'm like, I'm going to frame this. It's so bad. The only thing that was right was the phone number. Everything else had misspellings. The company name had misspellings. I'm like, the guy who printed this for us didn't see this to be a problem. Anyway,
wow. But
we handed those cards out and knocked on doors and eventually picked up one client after another, after another, after another. So the first year was literally just to prove to my parents that I could do something, right? Like, just a proof of concept. Mm-hmm. And to prove to my friend's parents, like, hey, we dropped it. We said we're not going to go to college, but we could do something. And we decided to, we did the first year. I think we had like 12 or 13 clients at the friend of first year, but we made no money. Our first client, we walked into an Allstate on McLean Avenue. Never forget this. And we handed them a guy a card, and he said, hey, if you can do what my old cleaning lady quit, if you can take her price, you can have a job. Guess how much she got paid every week?
Oh my gosh. I don't know. Like
$25 a week.
No.
Yeah. So all three, we were like, yep, yeah, we'll take it. So $100 a month, and we visited one day a week. And so imagine three kids, 18 years old, getting paid $25 a week. That was our first client. And we like literally split $25 three ways. Like, it's no money, like $8 and change. It was terrible.
Wow.
And, you know, we built and we figured it out, and then we built it up. And, you know, time goes by, we learned the business, got some mentors along the way, and built it up, and eventually sold out that business like right around 2008 when the market started dipping. We sold. After that, I kind of just dilly-dallied around for a little bit trying to figure out what the next step was, and then I got into door-to-door sales. Started a door-to-door sales company a year after that, and then my oldest daughter was born, and I kind of quit that whole thing, and kind of that was a low period for me. I went through a very, very tough time after that. Because my daughter was born, I literally had maybe like $1,000 after selling that whole thing, everything off. And I was just like, what do I do next? And I had to like figure out what my next steps are. So, you know, bumped around, took some odd jobs, some ins and end jobs to kind of figure it out. Worked at Verizon, worked at this, did a whole bunch of things to try to figure it out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now I'm back on a path of entrepreneurship, and H for Hustle is the first step of building like a media education company. And that's what I'm doing right now.
Whoa, dude. Like, there's so much in your story that I don't even know where to start.
I gave you the quick version, too, because there's so much in there that we can talk about.
Oh, my God. So much. There's so many layers in that. So, I mean, there's so much we can go from here. But thank you so much for sharing.
Yeah.
But let's talk about the Fail Forward series. So my intention, you know, I shared that with you, is to really, I want the listeners to be able to start shifting their perspective around failure, because I feel a lot of the times we don't go after our passions, or we don't want to make a decision. We don't want to make the quote unquote wrong decision, because deep down, or consciously or subconsciously, we're fearful of failing. And mm-hmm. It's totally normal. But I mean, from your story, I mean, I don't know it by details, but I could see like you must have dealt with failure, quote unquote failure.
We failed. Yeah, I mean, if you from the day we decided to start business, we was failing. We failed every single day, right? So if you think about it, if more attempts of anything, you fail more than you actually win. But you only need to win once or twice really big for it to like be worth it. Mm-hmm. So we failed a ton. And, you know, one of the biggest things that I learned very, very early, what made me want to start the cleaning company. So my mom's a nurse. She mm-hmm. works in a nursing home. And I remember volunteering at a nursing home. Because she was like, you should come. They're doing this thing. You can get credits for school. And I was like, anything to not go to school and get credits for it, I'm down for that. Mm-hmm. So I remember being in a nursing home and like being with these people, these older people. And I learned this question that I started asking all of them. And I said, what was your favorite like time, like favorite decade? Was it your 20s, your 30s, your 40s, your 50s? Like, tell me like your favorite, like, and a lot of people would, you know, talk about like their 40s and their 30s and, you know, people would tell me their favorite decade in their life. But then the more you start talking, the more you start hearing people were like, you know, like, what's some of the mistakes? And a lot of things is you start hearing a lot of regret stories. Mm. I wish I would have, you know, took that job. I wish I would have married Johnny so-and-so. I wish I would have. And regret at an old age in nursing homes, you live with that regret for the rest of your life. And I started at 18 and I was like, man, it seems it's better to just do what you want to do than to actually be like regretful of something. And from that point on, no one in the nursing home ever talked about failure, like how much failures they actually made. They talked about all the stuff they wish they did do or they didn't do. And that was the part to me. I was like, I don't want to leave anything on the table. You got one life, and these decades blow by. It seemed like very fast when I started asking them their question. So after that, I just decided, hey, I'd rather fail and try than not fail at, than not try at all, because that's the worst part about it. Because if you fail, you can always recover, usually, right? You can, you might lose money, you might lose some people in your life, but you can always recover. But to live with that regret of knowing you didn't try something because of quote unquote failure, it's the worst thing on the planet. So after that, it just changed my whole perspective on taking a risk and taking a chance. And I think we pat ourselves a lot with not taking a risk because society makes it so safe. You know, I'm kind of happy this Corona stuff happens. You start realizing like, hey, you're not in control. Like, take a risk, you know, because again, you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. Holy shit. First of all, you were a wise ass little 18-year-old asking those deep ass questions. Like, wow. Like, that totally was meant to happen. So from 18 years old, hearing that whole like, oh shit, I'm not regretting anything. Like, I'm going in. So that mindset, that frame of mind, is that what really helped you with?
Yeah. So because, after hearing that was the reason why I started saying, let me go take a chance. I always wanted to start a business. In my heart of hearts, I felt like I was an entrepreneur. I used to read these magazines and books. I used to like want to do it all the time. But you know, the society, your parents, everyone tells you, go for the safe, take the job that's going to pay you the most and do the right thing and all these things that you hear from everyone else in society. And once I went to the nursing home, I started realizing like, oh shit, like that's not the game, because these people are on their deathbed and this is the real game. The real game is taking a risk, taking a chance. Yeah.
So let's talk about your immigrant parents, because your mom probably was like, damn, I should have never taken him to the nursing home. I know you mentioned the first year of your business, you're like proving to my parents I can do it, proving.
We were berated every day. Like my mom would wake me up and be like, I didn't bring you to America to clean people's shit. Go to school. So we used to get creamed out all the time. And I would just stood my guns like, no, that's your life. You do that. I don't want to do that, because if I don't do what I'm going to do, I'm going to be 30 something, 40 something living with the chance. And there's a lot of people that live with that. They live with something they didn't do in their 20s. Now they're 50, and now they're upset at their kids in their own house and their wife because they still have that thing that they never got off of them. And I never wanted that. So I would rather live with getting screamed at by my parents and trying to, you know, prove everybody wrong than to actually deal with the just chance that I didn't take a shot on my own self. And that's like the shittiest thing. I would never want to not take a chance on me, you know, like, I got only me, so I got to best take a chance on me. So, and now, you know, she's a proud son, and they're so proud of all I've accomplished, you know. But if I didn't take that chance on myself, would I have heard that from them? I don't know.
Wow. Yeah. So throughout the entire, like the first business with the cleaning, did you have any ideas like, I'm going to just quit, or I'm just going to throw in the towel, or?
Oh, hell yeah. Oh,
so, man. Give us like the secret sauce. Like, how'd you overcome that?
So I think a lot of times, it's because it was three of us that had the business, we spent a lot of time with each other and we kind of motivated each other. But I can give you a perfect example of one like thing that, so we were, this was first year in a business. We met this guy who was a contractor. His name was Juan, and he wanted us to construction clean. So after they did construction, like post-construction cleanup, we never did it before, but we said, yes, we'll do it. We did the whole job. We started off at 6 p.m. and we weren't finished till 6 a.m. the next morning, cleaned this whole thing. And then Juan ghosted on us. We didn't get paid. We didn't get anything. So he just disappeared. He wouldn't pick up our phone calls. We didn't know where to reach him. Nothing. We went by the office that we thought was his office. It wasn't his office. And then the lady was like, nah, he was here meeting this guy. He just told you to meet him here. So we thought that was his office. It wasn't. So he ghosted us, right? And in that moment, like, we're worried about like putting gas in the car and like getting to our other two clients that we had at the time. And we were so pissed. And I started blaming my other business partner, Kyle. I said, it was your fault. You took this job. You said this guy was cool. Then we start blaming each other, going screaming. That was one moment I felt like quitting, because we worked so hard and got ghosted on. But that was business. Funny story about Juan though, right? 2 years go by. We get a phone call. Hey, Bobby, what's going on? I'm like, who the fuck is, who this guy talking to? And he's like, oh, it's your boy Juan. He's like, yo, I'm so sorry about that thing that happened. And I was like about to hang up the phone on this guy. My partner Kyle driving on my hand. He starts screaming at him, cursing at him, and going crazy on him. And he's like, listen. I got something for you. It's not me. I'm working on this place. They need somebody. We go there to this client that he had. I was like, hey, listen, it is what it is. Let's go see it at least. If anything, we get to punch him in the face and run away after that, right? And we get there. Juan's like, hey, this is the owner. Introduced to the owner. That place ends up being one of our biggest contracts, $11,000 a month.
Wow.
Yeah. So what looked like a straight up failure in that moment, we wanted to quit. We figured it out. We fought through it. 2 years later, that same guy turned around and gave us one of our biggest clients we ever had in that business.
Wow. That is so beautiful. Have you seen that? Like, has that been pretty common in all these so-called failures that there's some benefit either right away or...
Yeah. Yeah, the older I got, the more I replaced the word failure with lesson. Like, I give you another story. Like, so I fell asleep we had this time, it was like 4 years in. I was in one of the business vans. We were doing okay. It wasn't great. We were doing okay. We hadn't like quite turned the corner yet. I fell asleep in one of the vans. It was like a minivan that we had, the only van at the time. I fell asleep because we had like these morning networking meetings called B&I we'd go to. And I was like, I'm not going in. I'll sleep in the car. I'm so tired. I fell asleep in the car. The car was on because it was winter. My foot was on the gas. So the car was revving this entire time while I'm knocked out sleeping. I blow the radiator, blow the engine on the only car that we had. It's the crazy. And literally, we had no car. We literally were taking cleaning supplies on the bus to get to our clients, or taking my mom's car, my dad's car, which looked like a failure. Eventually, one of our clients was like, hey, I noticed you guys aren't coming in the car. Is everything okay? And we're like, no, the car, you know, I told him the story. He laughed at me, of course. It was like, what kind of stupid shit? Why didn't you turn the car off? And I was like, I don't know, man. I was tired. He eventually had a car for sale. He had a minivan that was a newer model, and we bought that minivan because we had some money. He actually gave us like a slow down payment to pay him off on it. But like, that one thing that looked like a failure, if we just kept on going, and it just turned into a lesson, and it was just a thing that taught us going forward. And then because of that, we were able to have cash reserves in our business. There were so much lessons we learned because we were so like cash poor and we didn't have anything on reserve, that we just, it was a lesson. Like, losing that engine, losing that car was a lesson that we have to have money put aside for certain things. And that was a huge lesson of ours. So I have 1,000,005 of those stories like that, you know, like that where you're just going to lose so much. I think a lot of people spend a lot of time thinking about failure before they get started. And you are going to fail. You are, like, failing is a part of it. But if you replace the word failure with just lesson, man, there's a lesson I learned in that. There's a lesson I had to learn in this. There's a lesson. Oh, this was a lesson. Or when you do fail, look for the lesson. Don't look for it being like a massive failure. And again, you don't need to win. You don't need to win everything that you do. You just need to win one time big, and that's it. That's all it really takes. So you got to go through numerous lessons to get to that place. And a lot of times we don't know what we don't know. So if you're going to go into something, you're going to fail doing it. Yeah. You know? And that was something that we kind of got used to about year two. It was just like, shit. We always used to say ourselves, what can we control? And what you realize, the only thing you can control is you.
Facts.
There's nothing else, you know, like, it's raining outside, get an umbrella. Like, there's no money, cool, do more work. Like, there's nothing you control but yourself and your effort. And that's all we really looked at. We learned that lesson very, very early, and we just took everything on the chin. Now, did we cry and complain and fight with each other through the process? Yes, hell yeah. But we still definitely did learn a lot during that time. I felt like that business was like our MBA. Like, we went to college and took our MBA in learning in that business. And I would never, and I'm so happy. I don't regret that experience. I don't regret anything about it. And I'm so happy that I did it and I lived it. And now all of those lessons, if I want to apply for a job anywhere, anyone, every time they see that on my resume, like, tell me about this. And I tell them the whole story, and they're like, so you started this company with $40? And it's, you know, you're so valuable to them. People are like, this is amazing. So it's one of those things where people spend so much time regretting and failure. failure's not worth thinking about. Just start moving. You know, like, funny thing, you and I spoke about starting a podcast. I called you, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. I forgot about that.
Yeah, I called you because you were like one person that I knew had started a podcast. I was like, hey, can we talk for a second? And you didn't know me from a can of paint. You took time to speak with me. And literally, like, 3 days later, I was like, all right, got this going. Hey, would love for you to be a guest. Then started the ball rolling. Again, I'm failing in this process right now of what I'm building. There's so many failures and so many attempts of trying to get interviews and do things, and it's not working out the way I want. But there are a lot of things that are working out. So, but you can't spend so much time dwelling on starting because you're going to fail. Start, the failures are going to happen, and you just got to keep going through them. And then you just look for the lessons that you have to learn along the way.
Wow. Yes. And it's so true. I remember being so blown away. Like, dude, we just talked. Like, you already have the podcast? Like, what? Like, you went 0 to 100 real quick. So everything the gems you're dropping are so powerful. And I love that even before we were on this call, I'm like, not all entrepreneurs listen to my podcast. Like, this is everyone, but that these lessons you can apply in every single area.
Yeah. And then, you know, like, again, it's one of those things where you just have to move past the fear of it. It's fear. It has nothing to really do with you. It's just this fear. Mm-hmm. What if you actually, and then, you know, most people don't think, what if I actually succeed at this? Mm-hmm. You know, most people say, but what if this goes wrong? We get in cars every day long. The likelihood of you getting in an accident is like a high rate, but we still drive every single day, right? Mm-hmm. You're literally in a death machine. You could be die that day and you don't know, but you still take the chance of driving. So it's the same thing. If you can take a chance of getting in a car and you can pass away today, you could take a chance on anything you want to do. If you got the side business, you want to work on it. If you want to go get your master's and you're scared, go get it. Like, you know, money and all the things you're afraid of are just an illusion that's put around you. It's not real. And trust me, it's worse if you're in that nursing home, being that person that regret not doing that thing, you know, it's going to suck even more.
So would your advice, because what I see from your story, from your journey, is like you take massive action, like you just go. So for the people that are listening to you and they may be self-reflecting on like what they've been kind of fearing and not really taking action on, what advice do you have for them?
Literally, write down 3 things you can execute today on whatever your idea is, right? You want to start a podcast? Cool. Start talking in your phone. Like, just take whatever action you can do today. Don't worry about trying to be too fancy. Like I could go back to my cleaning business. We knew we didn't have $500, but what did we have? $40. How can we turn $40 into more money? Okay, this perfume part of Manhattan, you can go buy perfume for $10. That means we could buy 4 of them. We could come back up to town to the Bronx and sell it for $20. So that means we would make $80 off this $40, and then we can go back and keep doing the same thing over. Just start with where you are. Start with what you have, right? Like, it's one of the best shows I love watching on TV is that, like, Top Chef, when they, like, you have a zucchini, an apple, and a watermelon. Now make it a 3-course meal. Like, that's what life is. Whatever is in front of you, you have to take all the things that you have and you have to make a 3-course meal out of it. And for me, it just start with where you are and what you have. Just write down 3 things you can do today and start doing those 3 things. Like, if you're like, I want to go get my master's. Cool. What's the 3 things you could do today? You can go find a college. You can go apply online, right? Or application, or you can go visit them. Whatever. Just start something now, because the action beats that fear, that scaredness. Action beats that all the time. Because if you take those 3 actions today, you're gonna be like, oh shit, I feel better. Maybe I could do this. And that will propel you to when you do bump across those failures/lessons that you can actually, you know, you can move past it, because action beats failure any day of the week.
And I hear you on that. I totally do. But I could almost feel some people being like, yeah, dude, but it's not that easy. Like, no, I don't have people that support me, or I don't have this, or I don't have that. And they have all these stories.
But no one's going to support you. No one's going to support me. My own mother didn't support me. My own mother was cursing at me, telling me, go to school and get a real job. When I started my other business, no one was my friend. When I started with the door-to-door sales, people were like, yo, why are you doing door-to-door? Like, this is beneath you. And I'm like, it's for me. It's not for you. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about support. You know why people don't support you? Because you've been full of shit your whole life and you haven't pulled the trigger on a lot of things. So a lot of times people don't believe you because of your inaction that happened in the past, right? You know, like, if you have a spouse that doesn't believe you, probably just been talking too much shit for a long time and never followed through. Now you have to show some action. When people see action, action, it changes everything. I know it's not the easiest thing. It's not the easiest thing to hear, but it is the easiest thing to get started, right? People are like, I want to lose weight. Cool. What's the easiest thing you could do right now? Go outside and walk. Don't worry about a treadmill. Don't worry about a gym membership. Just, you know, like you can change. And then once you go for that walk, maybe what you eat tonight, you'll put down those chips, or maybe you put down that thing that you normally would eat that's bullshit for you. Maybe you, because you took that walk, you're like, I like that walk. I like how I felt after that walk. And then just take steps to like move forward. So write down three things and take action. It's that simple. Because again, everything else is just shit you're telling yourself. It's not really real.
It's so true what you're saying. And it's thinking, I'm thinking about a girlfriend that literally just talked about this. And she was like, an object in motion stays in motion. Like, you know, that whole law. And it's so true. And I know from my own personal experience, there's been times where my financial rock bottom, where I literally was like meditating for my life away hours just to be saved. And when I would do my practices to connect with, like, you know, my spirit guides or whatever, I kept hearing action. Take action, just just get in momentum. And I know even now, like if I'm feeling funky or I'm feeling low vibe, I'll go on Facebook and I'll pull cards, angel cards for people, because it fires me up and I like to be of service and it just lifts my vibration. Or I teach, or, you know, like go outside. And it's so true. And I know it could be difficult to hear. I love when you said that, because you do make it seem like it's so freaking easy. Like, oh, this is the easiest thing ever.
But it is that easy.
If you decide for it to be that easy, right? Yeah, the stories you tell yourself in your mind.
It is that easy. Write down three things and take action. I always tell somebody when they're complaining about something, write down 10 ways you can solve it. That's something I do myself. If I'm complaining about something, it's something that's annoying me, and I'm complaining. I don't have any money. I don't, I'm broke, whatever the situation is. I write down 10 ways I can solve it. Usually I never come up with 10. I might come up with 5. Then that means those five I can start. Everything else you're telling yourself isn't really real, because the one thing you can control is your own action. That's it. That's the only thing you can, your output is the only thing you can actually control, right? You can, if it's raining, are you going to work today or no? Most people are going to go to work. They're going to wear an umbrella, going to put a raincoat on. Well, if it's raining in your life, what can you do to fix that? Put your raincoat on, your umbrella, and you still got to go where you got to go. So it's one of those things you just got to like put forth the effort.
And so Jerome, you fascinate me, because I'm like, is this innate within you, just how you were built, designed, experience, or like, what are your practices? Like, how are you this mentally strong? You know what I mean?
I do practice some stuff, and I'll get into that. I think a lot of it comes from like my parents, like immigrant parents that came here when they was 36 and 38. I had like a couple cousins and a couple aunts here, but pretty much we're on our own. Like, they're not that far ahead of us success wise, right? Mm-hmm. So we had to kind of figure it out on our own. And I seen them start from zero, literally. My dad left being a bank manager in Jamaica to come here and pump gas. You know what I'm saying? And I saw that buildup of them buying properties and then building themselves up over time. It took 20, 30 years to build themselves over time. So I saw that, like, I saw them build something right in front of my face. So I know what's possible. So that helps me push forth. Also, I think it's just watching their mentality. Like, I'll give you a perfect story of like the mentality and where I kind of get it from. My mom, I was having a tough day in door-to-door sales. Like, I had lost like 5 people on my team. It was a cold, rainy day. I was making no money. I was knocking on doors, making no money. And I was like, you know who I'm going to call? My mom. She can give me some nice. I was looking for like a warm, cuddly advice.
Comforting.
Yeah. I was looking for that. So I called my mom. Hey, how's it going? She's like, oh, I just woke up. You know, I worked last night, blah, 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 blah. And I said, you know, I'm rolling. I'm not making any money right now. I just lost this first piece on my team. And I said, you know, I don't know what to do. This is probably not for me. And then she stopped me. She's like, stop right there. And I was like, what? And she's like, you put your shoes on today? Did you get dressed? Did you go to work? And I was like, yeah. So she's like, all right, you put your shoes on and then now go to work. And I was like,
damn.
What? And she was like, why are you calling me complaining? She's like, you already out there. You already put your shoes on. So go to work. And I was like, all right. And I was hung up the phone like, fuck you, mom. I didn't need that from you. Right. But like, she was 100% right. I already did all the work. I already was there. What are you complaining about? Go to work. So that just to answer your question, that's where I think a lot of the mental fortitude kind of comes from. Like looking at my parents and looking at, and just the advice, it's harsh advice. You know, it's not the most warm and cuddly shit to hear, but it's 100% right. So I think a lot of my mental fortitude comes from that.
Yeah.
And the just the fight and the push through, because I literally saw them come here with nothing, and I've seen them build lives and being able to help family members and build a house in Jamaica. I seen like it just all happen just by them putting forth effort. So that just shows me, if I put forth the effort and I just keep working at it, it might take 20, 30 years, but it's going to happen. Mm. And so I think that's where it comes from, that mental, it's innate, but like there probably been many stories like that as a child that just happened. And I wasn't really conscious of it, but those stories have been in my head, or just my parents say something to me and it just kind of seeps into my head. So I think that's where the mental fortitude and the stick-to-itiveness kind of comes from.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. Like the H for Hustle podcast, like you're all about hustle your face off. Da, da, da. And it's like, we can like agree to disagree on that, because I'm all about alignment and you're about hustle, but I get it and I respect it.
Yeah.
And I definitely feel like your parents' approach worked for you, but not everyone would that approach work for. But I'm like blown away, and it's really... Yeah.
I mean, I hear you. It doesn't quite work for everyone, but again, effort does beat a lot of things. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, action does. 100%. 100%.
Hustle will beat smarts all the time. If somebody's willing to work their ass off, they probably get further faster. And I'm not saying it's for everybody, but there's a piece of it that it's like 70% effort, and the rest of it can work itself out after that.
Mm-hmm. I go back to the whole, like, an object in motion stays in motion, an object at rest stays at rest.
Yeah.
When my girlfriend told me that, shout out to Katie, I was like, wow, that's really powerful. I got to remember this. But okay, Jerome, what are your practices? Like, what are your disciplines? Like, share with us.
So I read a book called A Miracle Morning. I recommend everyone to read that. Especially, I kind of got really like picked up on like spirituality at a certain point. My friend Jocelyn, she's like all about like numerology and numbers, and we talk, and we, every time we jump on the phone, it's a 2-hour conversation about like spiritual. And she reads like what's the name of that book, A Seed to Soul by Marianne Wilson, and The Soul's Contract. So she put me onto a lot of these books and I started reading them, to get very open to like spirituality in a sense. But it didn't really quite make sense for me. Like, I got the concept of it, but how do I put it in motion? So I read this book called The Miracle Morning, just by like going to Barnes & Noble and saw this book, and I was like, ah, interesting, I'll try it. And what The Miracle Morning is, it gives you a system of how to operate. What the book is wake up an hour earlier than you normally would do. So if you wake up at 7, wake up at 6. And then you spend, there's something called the savers. You spend time doing these savers, like 10 minutes or 20 minutes, however you want to break the time out. So you read, like you meditate, you exercise to the point that you sweat, and then you affirmations, and then you sit in silence. So it's like a meditation or whatever. That's kind
for
of
an
like,
hour? That's all in an hour?
Yeah, so you break it down into 10-minute chunks or however you want to break it down. Some people wake up an hour and 30 minutes earlier, and then they try to chunk it all together, because some people like maybe the workout's 30 minutes and then they spend 10 minutes on each thing. But however you want to break it out, it just gives you a format, and that blueprint is something that I've been following since like I had my daughter. I read it when I first had my oldest daughter. And that's supposed to be my practice. I get up every day before the whole family. I spend time with myself and I give back. I put, you know, because life is draining, kids are draining. So doing that helps fill up my tank for the day. And now that I fill up my tank, when my kids wake up, my wife wakes up, I'm like alert, I'm focused, I'm ready to go. So reading that book helped me to start that practice. And then it starts you in a 30-day challenge in the book. And then because you could do it for 30 days, then you just continue to do it on from there. So it's called The Miracle Morning by Ron
People Hubbard, can Google it. It's fine. Yeah. But how do you stay disciplined and consistent? Is there any secret sauce there?
Yeah, I forgive myself.
I like that.
Because there's moments where I couldn't do it, or I'm traveling or whatever it is, but I forgive myself. I'm just like, hey, listen, it's okay. And it's all right. And then I just move on to the next day. That's it. That's one of the biggest things that I learned, is just forgiving myself, because I'm the hardest critic on me, and I just forgive myself a lot. Like, so if when I, within discipline, if you don't keep up with the discipline, let's say you go 10 days straight doing The Miracle Morning and you miss one day, most people take that one day and it throws the whole monkey wrench. And for me, I just said, hey, listen, one day doesn't beat 10 days. No problem. I'll start again tomorrow, you know, and start again tomorrow and just forgive myself. It's okay, Jerome, like certain things are out of your control this morning, or maybe you were up late last night and you just didn't set your day up. It's okay. And then just move on. So I've just learned to forgive myself and, you know, just realize that there's more effort being put in on one side than the other and things are going to happen. And I just learned to forgive myself. It trust me that I'm simplifying that, but that was a huge thing for me to learn, like how to forgive yourself in practice of trying to do things.
Wow, dude, you surprise me. You have so much depth to you. Even when I was on your podcast, I was like, damn, like there's so much depth to you. I was not expecting that. I was not expecting forgiveness as it, but that I'm aligned to that. That feels so right on time and so perfect. Yeah. So thank you for sharing that advice with us. I have a follow-up question, which is not actually related to that. It's completely separate. If you can share with us a rock bottom, the first that comes to your mind, because I'm sure you've experienced many rock bottoms, can you kind of like paint us the picture of like the rock bottom and then like how you overcame it, like what lessons you learned from it or?
Okay. Right. My oldest daughter, like things with the door-to-door sales company were kind of like slipping already. And then we found out she was going to be born and then, you know, the whole process. And then she was born. And then I just had to make a decision, like, this business is so intensive on time and the type of dad that I want to be and the type of dad I grew up with, you know, it just didn't align. So I kind of had to get out of there. So I sold off everything, got out. And I think I had like $1,000 in my name with a new baby. And I literally just, I fell into a really shitty place. Like I was like bad. I would just go buy like Moscato, $3 Moscato wine, like drink wine and just to fall asleep because I would think about so much. Mm-hmm. I started smoking a lot of weed just in that time. And then I'm trying to be like a dad at the time and I don't know what I'm doing that. And I was at a shitty place for like 3 months, just like feeling sad for myself and this business is done. And this little girl is going to look at me like a fucking loser and all these things that I was telling myself. And, you know, it was just one day where I was like, Jerome, you're fucking Jerome Fenton. The fuck is wrong with you? It's just like, it was just like a day. I was just like, what the fuck is wrong? You know how much shit you done accomplished already? This is not going to fucking break you. And I told myself that, and it didn't turn around that day. It took like another, like I was telling myself like that the whole week. And there was moments where I went to ebbs and flows. I'm like, yeah, I'm fucking Jerome Fenton. And I'm like, no, you're a piece of shit. You're Jerome Fenton. Like I went through like these ups and lows, these highs and lows with it. And then that's where I found that Miracle Morning book. And I just like dove into it and started reading that book. And I was like, you know what? I got nothing else to lose. This pity party shit ain't really working. And I know I don't feel good about it. So let me try something else. And that book, I was like, all right, I'll do the 30-day challenge and I'll try it. And just doing those, like spending time with yourself, praying, running, working out, like getting back into like some sort of mental routine. It was like, in 1 week of doing that, I was like, oh shit, I feel so much better. And, you know, I started applying for like, I was like, you know what, let me start looking for jobs and start feeling sorry for myself. Like because I went through this thing of like, I'm an entrepreneur. You don't work for somebody else, blah, blah, blah. I went through this whole like defeating thing. And I was like, you know what, right now the world is not the way you want it to be, but you can probably go get a job. So I made a resume on Canva.com and just started sending them out. And I just kept on doing that Miracle Morning every day. And I just started getting back and I stopped drinking at nighttime and I stopped smoking. And then it was just like, I started to feel more and more and more like myself. And the fact that I kept on being more and more consistent, it gave me this confidence that I just started rolling. And then I went on a couple interviews, got a job at Verizon, things started getting better. I started feeling better myself. All of a sudden my kids and everybody around me is happy. You know, my baby feels like she's happier because I'm happier. But you know, in my mind, it was just like, oh, she loves me. I'm the dad she needed me to be. And that was the thing that kind of got me rolling. But it was like 3 months of like being in a sad fucking place. It was really sad. Like I was, and I just didn't want to talk to anybody. I was isolating myself. I did a lot of like dumb shit within that time, but I just had to realize like, you have to, the book was the thing that book really turned the corner for me. And like, it really helped me to give me some sort of routine to get me back. And that's why I stick to it so much. Cause it literally caught me at like the lowest of my low and it brought me out of that. Yeah. So.
Wow. Such a divine intervention. How you were at a bookstore and it just got your attention. Like, hello, divine intervention. And yo, I can't even imagine, yo, shout out to your wife, because I can't imagine giving birth, hormones all crazy, husband like going through like a rock bottom, and like, I can't even imagine.
Yeah, yeah. And there was nothing she could help me with, you know. Mm-hmm. It was all me. I had to help myself within that time.
So the process is what I'm hearing is, so releasing the victim energy, being like, enough is enough. I am not this person, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Creating the morning practice with the book. Acceptance, kind of accepting the fact that right now I may not be a boss, but I will get there. Like, I have to do what I have to do in this time, right? Taking action by like applying, you know, putting yourself out there, being consistent in all your practices, gaining that confidence, gaining the experience, and then just being open to creative downloads to do your own things.
Yep.
Powerful.
That's exactly what it is. You nailed it on the head with different and better language, but
I love to do that, because I love to like extract people's stories with steps, like steps and step-by-step processes. So thank you so much for sharing. Last question, and then you can tell us where we can find you and all that good stuff. Yeah. Is that this is called the Empowered You podcast. So when's the last time you felt truly empowered, and why?
That's a really interesting question. I should have knew this was coming, because I listened to your podcast. last time I felt, that's my kids in the background, guys. It is quarantine time. So
I even told Jerome before we got on this podcast, because he mentioned his kids. I'm like, I like that. It's real shit. This is authentic. Like, this is real life right now. So. Yeah. Go on.
When was the last time I felt empowered? Mm-hmm. Man. There's a lot of those moments. I don't like.
Well, the first one that comes to your mind, and it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be business. Anything.
I would say there's moments, it comes and goes, so there's different moments, but I think I was like, there's one of these days I took like all the kids, the baby, everybody to like trampoline zone with like my wife. I just gave her a whole day. I was like, go get your hair done, get your feet done, like let me give you a day. And because she was like, you know, stressed out with just everything. And I was like, just go spend a day on yourself and just go hang out, whatever. And I took my kids to, there's a place in Jersey, Palisade Interstate Park. Mm-hmm. I took them to trampoline zone, and I took them to Palisade Interstate Park. And it was like one of those moments where I felt like I like taught them a lesson. Like I was able to like talk with them. Obviously they're 5, 3, and 1. It's not like you can have these thought provoking conversations, but to me, there was a moment where I just felt like super connected to them. And I felt like they were connected to me. And in that moment, I felt like super like, on top of it, like, man, I'm running my family. I'm running shit right now, you know? Yeah. And that was like one moment I'd say I definitely felt like really empowered. And I felt like in that moment, I felt like, I know what I'm doing. I got this, you know, till I put him back in the car and they start screaming and crying. But anyway, but you know, yeah, that was like, I guess the one moment I felt like I was like on top of it, and it had nothing to do with business. I just felt like I felt like a good dad in that moment. Like it was validation in my sense. Like, you know, looking back at like being that guy depressed, like after that, to now having 3 little ones and being like on top of it and controlling them, controlling the day. I just felt good about that.
Dude, that's huge. That's, I feel like parents always feel like they're failing. They always feel like mom guilt, dad guilt, not good enough, blah, blah, blah. So that's powerful. Yeah, Thank you for sharing.
That's huge. I know it doesn't have much to do with business or anything, but that's one of those moments. Yeah.
No, I'm glad it doesn't. This is not a business podcast, you know? I'm glad.
It's just in me. It's in me.
Yeah. But okay, so where can we find you? All that good stuff.
H for Hustle is the podcast. We're on all platforms. We're also going to be, we're on YouTube by the end of today. Every episode is going to be on YouTube. The website is being built in this quarantine time, the time of Corona. So the website is going to be built. It's hforhustle.com. It's not built yet, but H for Hustle is the podcast. Listen to me there. The goal with that is to inspire someone like sitting on the sideline that want to take a chance. And we interview people like Kelly and different people who've taken that. They went for the corporate escape and they started something and did something of their own. And it's not just, you know, one story. It's people who start charities, people who start different type of companies. So it's just not one story. And eventually it's going to be more and more, you know, educational pieces to it as we keep on growing. But, you know, we'd love you guys to come over there, take a listen, you know, send me some feedback. If you think it sucks, you think it's good, you know, send some feedback. I would love that. Or what I can improve on. I'm also always looking for feedback.
Awesome. And then everything's in the show notes, your Instagram, all that good stuff.
Yeah. Instagram, yeah. I am Jerome Fenton, H for Hustle Podcast. Just, that's the Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, everything. Can catch me, Jerome Fenton.
Awesome. Jerome, yeah. Thank you so much. This exceeded my expectations. So thank you for being so raw, vulnerable, transparent, for really, I love the perspective shift with failure to regret. I love the practices you shared. I love the stories you shared. You're a really good storyteller. And just thank you, man. I really appreciate you.
Thanks for having me. And, you know, keep doing your thing. You know, you were a motivator and a reason why I kind of got started. So, and I always am keeping an eye on you. I'm like, she's going to take off. I got to make sure I stay close.
Oh, you're so sweet. Like, I totally receive that. My heart feels so full. Like, I honor that. Thank you so much. Yeah. So, Sunshines, there you have it. Fail Forward Series Part 1 with Jerome Fenton. You are so in for a treat. This was amazing. And it's just, I'm so excited for this series. And shout out to Jerome because it literally came when we were connected on his podcast. So, and you're on my podcast because I replayed that episode 28, which I can link in the show notes so you guys can check it out. But that is a wrap for us. I'm sending you all so much love, light, and positive vibes. Till next time. Bye, guys.